During 7 weeks of trial, Buster and his father were practically ignored. 3 times their names were mentioned. But after 8 days of deliberation, the jurors, obviously tired and frustrated, found every conspirator guilty of all charges. 1 month after they were sentenced, Buster's father killed himself. As the narrative wound down, the kid looked as if he might cry. But he stuck out his jaw, gritted his teeth, and said, "I did nothing wrong." He certainly wasn't the first inmate at Trumbull to declare his innocence. Beach watched and listened, and remembered a young man he had sentenced once to 40 years for drug trafficking back in Texas. "Gotta get these damn drug dealers off the streets." A liberal is a conservative who's been arrested. After 3 years on the inside of a prison, Hatley Beach agonized over many of the people he had thrown the book at. People far guiltier than Buster here. Kids who just needed a break. Finn Yarber watched and listened, and felt immense pity for the young man. Everybody at Trumbull had a sad story, and after 1 month or so of hearing them, he had learned to believe almost nothing. But Buster was believable. Joe Roy Spicer listened to Buster's compelling story, and he sized the boy up for future use. There were 2 possibilities. First, in Spicer's opinion, the telephones were not being properly utilized in the Angola scam. The brethren were old men writing letters as if they were young. It would be too risky to call Quince Garvey in Iowa, for example, and pretend to be Ricky, a robust 28-year-old. But with a kid like Buster working for them, they could convince any potential victim. There were plenty of young guys at Trumbull, and Spicer had considered several of them. But they were criminals, and he didn't trust them. Buster was fresh off the streets, seemingly innocent, and he was coming to them for help. The boy could be manipulated. The second possibility was an offshoot of the first. If Buster joined their conspiracy, he would be in place when Joe Roy was released. The scam was proving too profitable to simply walk away from. Beach and Yarber were splendid at writing the letters, but they had no business sense. Perhaps Spicer could train young Buster here to fill his shoes and to divert his share to the outside. Just a thought. "Do you have any money?" Spicer asked.
"No, sir. We lost everything."
"We usually charge for reviewing cases and helping with the appeals."
"I'm dead broke, sir."
"I think we can help," Beach said. "Sort of a pro bono case, wouldn't you say?" Yarber said to Beach.
"A pro what?" Spicer asked.
"Pro bono. What's that?"
"Free legal work," Beach said.
"Free legal work? Done by whom?"
"By lawyers," Yarber explained. "Every lawyer is expected to donate a few hours of his time to help people who can't afford to hire him."
"It's part of the old English common law," Beach added, further clouding the issue. "It never caught on over here, did it?" Spicer said.
"We'll review your case," Yarber said to Buster.
"But please do not be optimistic."
They left the cafeteria in a group, 3 ex-judges in green choir robes, followed by a scared young inmate. Frightened, but also quite curious.